They went pale and said they didn't mean anything by the crack. Later, Lipton returned, red-faced, and said he was sorry to lose his temper, but he feared that the wound to his hand had inflicted permanent damage that would prevent him from playing college football. Underlying the release of tension in London, or Gordon's feeble attempts at some humor, was the reality these men had faced and their apprehension about what they would be facing. Sergeant Martin looked around the 1st Platoon barracks the first night back from Normandy, and half the men who had been there from September 1943 to May 1944 were gone. He said to Guarnieri, "Jesus, Bill, here we've got a half a hut full of guys, and we aren't even started in the war yet. We don't have a Chinaman's chance of ever getting out of this thing. If we lost half the barracks in one goddamn little maneuver in Normandy," Guarnieri replied, "forget it. We'll never get home." They took their leave in Scotland, where they got tattoos, figuring, what the hell? Losing that many men in one little deal like that, and the whole war ahead of us, why not? Private David Kenyon Webster had jumped with 2nd Battalion's HQ Company on D-Day, been wounded a few days later, evacuated to England, and returned to Altborn before the battalion returned. He hid in the shadows of the Red Cross hut as the thin, tired column of survivors marched into the area, hoping that no one would look him in the face and ask, "Where the hell were you, Webster, when the Krauts made the big counterattack on the other side of Carentin, and F Company gave ground and E Company's flank was exposed?"
This is the end of Disc 4.